Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is CBS Eye on the World. The federal government, the inside of the federal government. I go to Francis Rose, who is the host of the Daily Scoop at the Fed Scoop, talking to members of the government or journalists who report on members of the government, former members, future members of the government. This is the thing itself. The gigantic federal government that we think of as D.C., but it's changing dramatically because of the pandemic or because of the technology or both. Francis, a very good evening to you. Simone Zeekman and your conversation with Simone about the Agriculture Department. And if I understand it correctly, the new protocols are a product of the pandemic, but they look permanent. How many days at the facility? How many days at home or in a remote location? Is this the first department to start putting down things for us to read about what the future looks like? Good evening to you, Francis.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me as always. Yes, this is the first agency that we've seen with such definitive and detailed plans. And it's the first agency that I've seen that has decided to make the changes permanent. That was the word that was in the memo that Oscar Gonzalez, a very high-ranking official at Agriculture, sent to the department this week, that these telework policy changes are permanent. And the policy change specifically is twofold. They're expanding the scope of employees who are able to work remotely or telework, and they are setting very definitive terms as to how that can happen. Starting right away, employees of the Agriculture Department who are eligible to telework, not everybody is, but if you're eligible to telework, then you are able to work remotely or telework 8 days out of each 10-day pay period every 2 weeks. And you must come to the facility to which you're assigned 2 days out of the 10 days. And the conversation with Simone, who's a former chief information officer at the Commerce Department, was to learn what leaders should think about, IT leaders should think about across government, because if this becomes kind of the template for what other agencies decide to do, then some changes may be necessary in the infrastructures that they've built to support this temporary telework in the event this becomes permanent, John.
I'm compelled to connect this statement with what you and I discussed when I visited your wonderful city in October and walked K Street alone and observed at noontime, early noontime, no one in the cafes, and walked down to the Apple store and I wasn't alone, but I was certainly surrounded by people who wanted to help me, many more than there were customers. I asked you at the time, where are the people? And you said, well, they were working remotely. You've sent me photographs recently of other parts of your fair city where there was no pedestrian traffic whatsoever. Is this now the future, Francis? Are we decentralizing the federal government?
There are a lot of people that are starting to think so, John. There are a lot of people who are starting to think about what does the economy of downtown Washington look like? What does the economy of the suburbs look like compared to it? What do all of these things mean for the infrastructure in the area? What do they mean for public transportation? And there's any number of different ripples that will cause, but there are a lot of people that are wondering if this is what we're going to have. If what we have, the pictures that I sent you and the sites that you saw, is this what it's going to look like in April of next year? Is this what it's going to look like next summer? Is this what it's going to look like a year from now, and so on? And there are more and more people every day, I think, that are starting to say, yeah, this probably isn't going to change very much. And what does that mean for the you know, is this a snowball effect? Does it mean that the things that are still open, which are not many, contract even more? And does that then cause the federal government to say, well, the infrastructure and the facilities that we need to sustain the people that are coming in aren't here, so maybe we go to more remote work, more telework, and so on? It's really a fascinating thing to watch, and it's fascinating to see that nobody really knows what to think, and nobody really knows potentially what could come next.
My outsider opinion is that what we're looking at is a much smaller carbon footprint generated by the federal workforce, because not everybody, people aren't stuck on the beltway, and they aren't crowding up on the intersections, and they aren't gasping for air in a city that was overwhelmed with federal workers. Is that a good thing? I can't tell. Is that on purpose? I can't tell. Is anybody talking about this being consistent with the concerns about climate change?
Well, nobody's connected that dot yet, John, those two dots, and I think, but I don't think it will be long. One of the developments this within the last week or so is that the Biden administration has released its vision for its president's management agenda, and climate, of course, is woven all the way through that. And so the number one priority, by the way, is strengthening the federal workforce. So it would not surprise me to see that connection made when the full version of the president's management agenda comes out. The expectation is that will be out sometime in February. And the climate implications, I don't think, can be ignored when it comes to how the federal government works moving forward.
One thing immediately comes to mind, because I've been doing reading, you know how I do, Francis, is that the plastic consumption of D.C. is way down, way down. And that's a good thing, because all that plastic, we don't know what to do with. And it's floating out there in the oceans or in our solid waste dumps. Now we go to more mysteries of the federal government. This is an acronym that I stumbled upon. And I thought, Francis is throwing around this word DESA so casually. What could it possibly mean? DESA, DESA. And then I focused. Defense Information Systems Agency. What is that?
The Defense Information Systems Agency is an organization inside DOD that exists to provide the technology backbone, the IT backbone, that the Defense Department needs to operate. And one of the main jobs that it undertook was to provide a cloud computing backbone for DOD. It is now going to be the leader of something that you and I talked about that doesn't exist anymore. Used to be known as the JEDI, Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure Contract. That was the huge cloud computing contract that people thought Amazon Web Services was going to win. Microsoft won it instead. Amazon protested. Oracle had already protested, even though they never won and didn't even get a final bid in. Turned into a mess. Defense Department said, we give up, we start over with the Joint Warfighting Cloud Computing Concept, JWCC. You can throw that in the acronym pool. But the Defense Information Systems Agency will be involved with that now. And DISA is really responsible for all of the high-tech stuff that DOD is going to do that connects the forces together, not least of which is a concept you've talked about on your program, the Joint All-Domain Command and Control, JADC2. And DISA will be a key player in that as well.
I love this. We could play Scrabble with this. JADC2, DISA, JWCC. All right, more interpretations by Francis Rose. Bill Plant is nominated to be the Undersecretary for Acquisition and Sustainment. What the heck is acquisition and sustainment at the Pentagon? Isn't acquisition enough? What's the sustainment part?
Well, just before we get to that, to throw into your acronym pool, the shorthand for the job that Bill LaPlante's been nominated for is USD A and S. So that you can add to the pile, John.
All right.
The Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition and Sustainment is responsible for the way that the department buys stuff and the way the department maintains the stuff that it buys. That's the acquisition and sustainment pieces. Until about 2 years ago, maybe a little longer, that job was known as the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics. Congress decided to break that job in two. The ANS job I just described is one of those, and a woman named Heidi Shu has the other piece. The name of the other piece now is Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering, and she conducts basically, she functions as the Chief Technology Officer of the Defense Department. And the thing that's fascinating about all of these pieces, and my friend and colleague Stan Soloway points that out in today's Daily Scoop podcast, is that all of the people who are occupying these jobs basically are Obama administration people who've come back to different slots. So here's one example. The job that Bill LaPlante held in DOD in the Obama administration was the acquisition leader for the Air Force.
30 seconds, Francis.
He's now going to be at OSD, and the person who held the job that he has will have is the Secretary of the Air Force. So there are a lot of moving parts, but they're moving into different jobs, but a lot of them are the same people, John.
Francis Rose is the host of the Daily Scoop podcast at FedScoop. This is the interpretation of the federal government that might be decentralizing. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.